Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Wild with delirious joy.
It's crazy.
I fix the wires on my head here.
Get your act together there.
Yes, Unger. They're glad they've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
The Princess Bride. Joining me, so I am, of course, Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, introduce myself first. Joining me, as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley. And the very strange and perplexing Philip James Unger.
Hey, Diane. Mm-hmm. Personal question. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to work with such talented and attractive men?
Yes.
It's overwhelming.
I'm sure it is.
I figured. Okay.
It just, I'm Twitter-pated all That's the time. You have no idea.
Engineering the show as always. The very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incredibly boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us a question about anything. Nothing is off limits. You get to remain totally anonymous. In exchange for the safety of anonymity, this show is brutally honest. Okay? So this is not a show that cares about your feelings. We won't be sensitive to you in any way, shape, or form. This isn't about you. None of this is personal. This is about what you're doing or thinking or whatever. If we like the way you think, we will celebrate you. If we don't like what you have to say, we will castigate you. Three versions of castigation. One is we'll stick your head in the toilet and give you a swirly. When the water swirls around your head and hopefully breaks you out of your delusions. If we think you're crazy, you'll get the goat button. And if you blather on too much, we will give you the chicken. You get all three, you are officially crazy. And that's all I have to say about that. What have you got for us today?
Okay, you sent this article to me about the new superbug that could be worse than AIDS. It's a new antibiotic-resistant strain of gonorrhea. They say it's more aggressive and will affect more people quickly than what the AIDS virus could put someone into septic shock and death in a matter of days. It's very dangerous. It was discovered 2 years ago in Japan, has since been found in Hawaii, California, and Norway. The potential for disaster is great. According to the CDC,
Hawaii, about Japan, California, and Norway.
Norway. Isn't that kind of funny?
How's Norway getting there?
I don't know.
All right.
The CDC says about 20 million people a year contract a sexually transmitted disease, resulting in $16 billion with a B in medical costs.
Wow. All because they can't keep their pants on.
Mm-hmm. 800,000 cases of gonorrhea reported a year, most between the ages of 15 and 24. And then some guy that's in charge of all of this is urging Congress to target 54 million just to fight this one strain alone. $54 million.
Stop and think how
crazy this
is. Just
for this one bug.
We are spending billions of dollars to fight diseases that would not exist if people would just keep their pants on. But we can't just tell people to keep their pants on. Apparently, that's outrageous and unreasonable. So we have to spend all this money to find cures for disease, and something always keeps popping up. The next worst thing. We are not designed to go around like cats and dogs having sex freely with people. Okay? It's very dangerous and it's destructive and your body can't handle it. And these different things are going to keep popping up over and over again. Why don't we spend $50 million to teach people the benefits of fidelity? Just get a wife. You want sex? get a wife. Why are you doing this? Why do you keep having sex with all kinds of people? A lot of these people don't even know their names.
I know.
So have a lot of people died from this thing yet or what?
Nobody's died from this particular strain.
Well, then
yet.
How do they know you can die in a matter of hours?
They're just, I don't know if they're just surmising, if it's tests that they've done. They're just saying the potential is out there for
there's
this.
A test you don't want to sign up for. We're seeing how long it takes before you die. Mm. Okay. It doesn't make any sense. How do they know they're going to die?
That's, I don't know. That's just what they're saying. You sent it to me. I don't know.
Very bizarre.
Anyhow.
So there's something even worse. Gonorrhea. A bacteria?
Antibiotic resistant.
Uh-huh. Version of gonorrhea. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
No, it probably never was safe to go into that water.
That's what, I mean, it's just
I just don't know, and I know that they do teach in school, all like the Pam Stenzel stuff, the STD stuff. I know that these kids hear this, so why on earth are they still going out and doing this? It makes no sense to me.
Why do they do it?
I mean, why do they, when they know the potential is out there to contract this, that, and the other thing, and it's just bad, nasty stuff, why do you just keep sleeping around?
You think it'd be a bit scary.
I'd be scared. I wouldn't do it.
Now stop and think about it. Let's say you fall in love with a boyfriend or girlfriend. You're with each other all the time. Even as high school kids, your parents are morons. They just basically live together. I can see having sex with that person, mm-hmm. you know, because, well, they're not having sex with anybody else.
If so you knew they didn't, right?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, in some kind of committed relationship.
Okay, that I understand.
Even though it's still morally wrong. I'm just saying from even a secular standpoint,
right.
You can understand. The idea of, gee, let me just have this girl, and then I'll have this girl, and then I'll have this guy, and I'll do this guy, and then I'll do this guy.
From a health standpoint, why would you do that?
Who thinks in those terms? I mean, it's very bizarre, and so many people do it, and they get these diseases, and it kills them. From AIDS to whatnot, now we got super gonorrhea.
I guess.
It's not just gonorrhea, it's super gonorrhea!
Sounds like only curable with kryptonite.
I guess.
That's right.
Ugh.
We should have a new superhero. Super gonorrhea! The big G is just...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm here! Super gonorrhea! Good Lord. All right.
Just
well,
nasty.
Another reason you want to do life right. We'll take a break and come back with your emails about life, love, and marriage. Bless you over there. And we'll be back right after this.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
This podcast of The Mark Gunger Show is being brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks in the known universe. All kinds of titles, 100,000-plus magazines, books, articles, whatever. I know a lot of people don't have time to read nowadays, but you do have time to listen. So check out Audible.com. And as a listener to The Mark Gunger Show, if you'll go to Audible Podcast. Yeah. AudiblePodcast.com/Gunger. You'll be able to get a book, any book that you want, absolutely free. Download it, listen to it, check it out. There's also new apps and stuff on your phones that you can run it through. So go to AudiblePodcast.com/Gunger. You also get a 30-day free trial. AudiblePodcast.com/Gunger. Check it out today.
You can call it what you want. It's always the same. I can't hide from the guilt and the shame. Would you pray for me, pray for me,
a sinner. The music of Jimmy Bradger. Check out his music at jimmybradger.com. I love Jimmy.
Okay.
Mark Gunger Show, along with Diane and Phil, answering your questions about life.
Okay, starting out with a little comment here about masturbation, because you consistently rant at people because they say that you can't help it
me
and that
rant?
Everybody
me rant?
Masturbates.
Me rant?
Yes.
How dare I say I rant?
She says,
I said a rant about the rant.
I am a regular podcast viewer and I love your show and that you'd all tell it like it is. Keep it up. I have to comment on what you say about masturbation being condoned in the church. When I was in high school, now this is in the 80s, I guess that's my generation. She said,
75 years ago,
yes,
when Diane was in
a
school.
A teenager, yes. I don't quite understand this. It was a public school and the Spanish teacher had the local Catholic priest come in and talk to the class. She can't even remember why, but during the rap session, oh gosh, I remember those. This guy, this priest, told us all that masturbation was normal and that even Jesus masturbated. He told the whole room full of teenage girls and boys that Jesus was a normal human being just like us, and that even he could not stop himself from masturbating. I remember thinking this was weird to tell us this. It scares me what my boys are being told about life by supposed people in authority when they are in school. Our culture needs some serious help. A priest goes into a school and says that.
This is the same Jesus who said, don't even look at a woman and lust after her.
But he couldn't help himself.
But then he masturbates.
Oh, people good grief. Are crazy. Why would someone say that?
They're crazy. Because they want to justify their own sin.
I guess.
They're consumed by their own sin, and they'll do everything they can to make it be normal, and everyone does it, so it's normal, so therefore it's not a sin.
That's crazy. Just when you think it can't get any crazier. Okay, first email of the day says, Mark mentions that the scriptural context for marriage, the main reason in the New Testament, is for sex. Mm-hmm. He wants to know, wouldn't this be a good thing to teach in premarital counseling? Maybe we should try teaching it right up front that this is the main reason for marriage. What do you think?
I think so. I think it'd be good to certainly bring it up and talk about it. I mean, it's amazing how many people, it's hard to imagine that this happens, but I know of three people personally that it has happened to, that they got married and on their wedding night discovered the person they married has no intention of ever having sex.
Interesting.
At least three. Maybe I know a fourth one. This obviously is fairly commonplace. When I can say I know at least four people, I mean, that's amazing.
Were they all first-time marriages?
I don't know. One was for sure. Maybe the other two weren't. Anyway, but I mean, this just does. Again, you don't talk about this? No, it is for you. You don't talk about this? You have no idea? That means you wonder who in the heck did the pre-marriage counseling with these people? And this never came up?
Talked about it. When this email came in, I thought about it. When I went through premarital counseling, we never talked about sex. And this one in my early 20s, it never was brought up by the pastor who did our premarital.
And the fundamental reason, according to St. Paul, the Apostle Paul, I guess I'm turning into a Catholic now.
You're slipping.
So I'm slipping. St. Paul, what do you want to call it? I don't care what you call him. It's Paul, the Apostle Paul. He said the number one reason for marriage is to fulfill your sexual desire. That's what he said. Now, from an Old Testament viewpoint, you could say, well, it's more about procreating and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But even then,
There's sex involved.
Like, but you know, you listen to most Christians. No, it's about being one and spiritual intimacy and walking with Christ and blah, 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 blah. Look, those are all can be elements of it. But the foundational premise of marriage is sex. Always has been, always will be. And I agree with this person. They should be talking about it and discovering these problems ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking forward to having sex. You guys want, you know, have a problem with it, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, I don't ever want to have sex. Well, now's the time to discuss that because I'm pretty sure the other person is planning on it.
I just can't imagine that conversation not coming up between the two of you at some point.
I believe, legally, that's what annulments are for. The minute a pastor discovers that someone went into the marriage with having no intention to have sex or never told the other person they're incapable of having sex, you should immediately move for annulment. They're basically being, especially when you know it mm-hmm. ahead of time, this is under false pretenses. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons for annulments. It shouldn't even show up as a divorce. But I don't know a single pastor who's done it. Every single person I know of the four.
Well, they say you're committed now. Yeah, I know
these
guys.
These pastors are crazy. They're wrong.
You said I do.
They're just wrong. Mm-hmm. When you haven't consummated, they think consummating the marriage is the I do. That is not the consummation of the marriage. That's why they call sex consummating. People are ignorant. They don't know how to read. They don't know how to write. They don't know what words even mean. I do is not the consummation. I do is the promise. Until you consummate it, till you sign on the dotted line, okay, we can talk about having a contract, we're going to do this, okay, it's not a firm deal until you sign the contract and I sign, this thing has been put in force, okay? That's what the sexual part of the marriage covenant is. And up to that point, you have someone who refuses to have sex, I'm telling you, if I ever run into anybody that I know that happens to, mm-hmm. I will immediately move for an annulment. But these goofy pastors who don't understand these things, put these people through more counseling and try to help them.
Try to save the marriage.
And try to save the marriage. There's nothing to save. It's not been consummated. You want to really force someone into a marriage now with someone that they don't want to be with? You know, and then I've been aware that under pressure, the one person will probably then have sex one time.
Once. Under great duress.
Under great duress. And now they still don't want to have sex with us.
Well, it's not so bad for the one who doesn't want to have sex.
Now it is a divorce.
But it's really bad for the person who went into it thinking that they were going to have sex. It's bad for that one.
So anyway, should they talk about this marriage counseling? Absolutely.
Do they talk about it? You're the newest member married here. Do they talk about it with you that you remember? Sex?
I mean, we did a home mentor kind of thing. We did a class with a pastor and then met with in the home, and they talked about sex and suggestion boxes. Well, I may have thrown that in there.
Excuse me?
Communicating about it. Oh. I said maybe a suggestion box next to the bed would be a good idea.
Oh, that might be good.
Uh-huh. I think they should literally... It should be one of the early questions a pastor has with us. Are either one of you opposed to having sex? Are you both planning on being sexually active in the marriage? Yeah. I think they should just flat out ask them that.
Well, here's the problem.
And wait for the answer. And if one of them goes, well, you know, I got a problem with it, boom. Should be over with right there.
The problem that I think is behind it all is that most pastors assume that they're already having sex. I think that was the assumption when I got married. But it wasn't brought up because they just... It depends. I guess it depends on which religious circles you're running in. And but
I'm
I think a lot of it is assumed.
From an evangelical church standpoint, where you're not supposed to be having sex.
No, this is a mainline church.
I think they should just ask the question right up. Mm-hmm. Not about how to communicate. About sex. I'm just flat out. Do either one of you have a problem with the idea of having sex, or are not interested in having sex? And they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. If asked, they'll say, well, "Yeah, I don't really want to have sex." And the other person, "Oh my goodness, they'll freak." Mm-hmm. And then the pastor should work to call the whole thing off. Don't try and fix that. Don't try and fix that. The worst thing you can do, pastors, is try and fix that. Because it doesn't work. And it's not fixable. And what you'll do is wind up having someone who's now locked into marriage for the rest of their lives in a sexless marriage. And miserable. And usually those people want to go out and having affairs and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Something you created because you didn't have enough sense to ask the question, or when you found the answer, you didn't move to call the whole thing off. Anyway, that's my opinion. You want to know it? We'll take a break. We'll be back with more emails right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
Back. Mark on the show talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails.
Okay, this one says, are Christians allowed to use toys when having sex with their spouse? I am in a wonderful marriage of almost 12 years, have always wondered if this was okay. Thanks, and I love the show.
I'm very against the idea of sex toys. You shouldn't need any toys. The reason these people want toys is because sex gets boring to them. And we want to spice it up.
Well, she says, I want to have some ways to make it more entertaining, more entertainment in the bedroom.
Yeah, more entertainment. In other words, we're kind of bored with what's happening in the bedroom. Seriously, if you're bored in the bedroom, just never been naked and thought, boy, this is boring. Mm-hmm. But if you're bored.
This again, huh?
Yeah. Then stop having sex for a while. That's all you got to do to ramp it back up. The Bible talks about actually separating by mutual consent for a while and then coming back together again. But these guys are so overstimulated and da-da-da over and over and over and over, and you get to the point where, gee, this is kind of boring. There's something wrong with you.
Well, her husband's trying to break free of porn. After watching the show, he's determined now, because he's found out from you, that he shouldn't be doing that.
Well,
so I think she's looking for something to fill in the gap.
No. You don't need this nonsense. And why any guy would want to grab a device that can outperform him? Mm-hmm. Who needs a man? I mean, it's so absurd, in my opinion. Again, if you need that to get it's like, take a different appetite, like eating. Mm-hmm. If it comes, you know, I just don't feel like, nothing tastes good to me. Mm-hmm. Can you cook better? Can you cook better? Can you cook better? Well, how about you fast for the day? I won't eat anything for 24 hours. And I promise you, anything tastes good.
Burnt toast and beans would be good at that point.
Burnt toast and beans. I can't wait to have burnt toast and beans. Because now you've given your appetite a rest and your stimuli, and now, boom, it comes roaring back to life. You guys who are so-called bored in your marriage, just knock it off for a while. By agreement. Anybody's, the minute someone starts mentioning, we want, you know, let's bring in a third person or toys or swinging acrobats or, you know,
window sex,
screeching monkeys or whatever, so to spice up our sex life. You never know, screeching monkeys, some people are into that. The okay. minute someone, a spouse.
Like Cirque du Soleil. You need
Cirque du Soleil to get it up. The minute someone in a marriage relationship mentions, let's do something to spice it up, the alarm bell should go off, and you say, you know, here's an idea. Let's not have sex for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, whatever. But then you agree. You pick a time, and then you come back to you. I promise you, you will not need toys. You won't need acrobats. You won't need flying monkeys. You won't need anything. It will be fabulous sex. How about you do that and just enjoy each other without all the stupid plastic devices? Good Lord.
You know why I think that some of these guys wanted or willing to do it? You said, why would they want to be replaced? I think they're lazy. I think that there's men who
are lazy.
Well, they're
into porn. The thing, I like to watch. That's what he does. He just wants to watch her get off, and as soon as she gets excited, he gets all ramped up. I mean, it's just all kinds of weird, creepy things. And besides, all this comes out of the porn industry. Where do you think all these sex toys come from, people? The American Baptist Society?
Really?
You think that's where it comes from? I mean, it comes from porn. You Nimrods, stop it, Christians, doing this stupidity. You don't need toys. Don't go to these stupid women's meetings. What is that stuff that they have?
They're like the passion parties.
Whatever, and talk about
the little home parties
and
all of that.
Don't go to those stupid things.
Well, they advertise
things.
Them now all the time for bridal showers. You've seen the ads. Oh my gosh, I'm watching TV with my kids, and the ads come on for the little Trojan, the new thing that they have.
But you know why? Because they've been having sex for 3-4 years, and now they're going to get married, and comes a wedding night. What's going to ramp it up for them? It's not special anymore. These people have wasted their wedding night in advance, so the wedding night is not special. So they're getting need all. That's my just do life right, and you don't need all this stuff. The minute you start talking, somebody in the relationship starts talking about the need to spice things up, there is something wrong with you. Okay? Normal sex is usually anything but boring. If it's gotten boring for you, you're a little crazy. Take a break. Knock it off for a couple of weeks. I promise you. Do you think these people will think it's boring if they don't have sex for a couple of weeks?
I think it'd be pretty exciting. Masturbating or anything
in
between.
Nothing. You don't need plastic and batteries and God knows whatever to ramp it up. You're overstimulated, some of you. Just knock it off for a while. The passion will come back, and we'll be back.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
And wise in fact, then I rushed in, and that was that. Instant fool, can you believe what love has done to me.
You're listening to the Mark Unger Show, music of Michael O'Brien. Answering your emails along with Diane and Phil. Mark Unger here. What have you got?
This question's from South Africa.
Africa!
She says, I have a weird question. How do I not let it bother me if my husband looks at FHM pictures? And you know what that is? It's like Maxim, FHM magazine. It's not, they're not naked. You're not listening.
My Africa music, man.
Tension got diverted.
All right.
Wait.
Okay.
It's a letter from Africa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I was trying to connect your Africa song there.
She's writing from South Africa. Nobody's paying attention, I guess, today. Okay. Okay, so they're like magazines, not that they're naked.
What?
TIA Brew.
Reed, we're just starting to get a little African music going in the back here.
Okay. Okay. But they're like scantily clad and all oiled down and sexy poses and stuff like that. But not like the naked Playboy kind of pics. Do you know what those magazines are?
So they're magazines that have scantily clad women.
Kind of like the Sports Illustrated so-called swimsuit edition. Yes, but like that.
They're not naked, but they're scantily clad. And her husband sees this.
Yes, and
she doesn't like it.
She wants to know, how do I not let it bother me? I have told him previously that it makes me feel inadequate and that I have to try to look like that. It's not that he buys the magazines, but I told him that I do not wish to know.
It's not that he buys the magazines. Well, that doesn't make any sense. How's he in the magazine if he didn't buy them?
It's not that he has them, she's saying. It's that she doesn't want to know about it, that he can have it, and if he needs to look at that or look at porn or do whatever, she just doesn't want to know about it.
You goofball. You need a swirly lady.
South Africa, it spins the other way.
That's a spin. Right? Actually, it doesn't really spin. It kind of just all goes down real quick. Because mm-hmm. they have a different kind of loo than we have. Yes. Our toilets spin around. There's just everything flushes. So
he doesn't understand why it bothers her. That's what she says.
Lady, for heaven's sakes, how do I get it so it doesn't bother me? Tell him to stop it. What kind of ignorant thing to say, this really bothers me, I just don't want to know.
Well, she thinks there's something wrong with her. Because
there is something wrong with her.
It.
She's thinking crazy. Don't put up with that kind of nonsense.
She thinks if she understood why men need to do this, that maybe she'd have a different perspective.
No. You just tell him, no, not in my home. You can't do this. No scantily clad ladies, period. No magazines, no nothing. Stop it. You lay down the law for your marriage. What she's asking for is dysfunctional, psycho, crazy babble.
She wants to figure out how to not let him do this and bother her. And here, I'm sorry, I don't want to throw
you. No, she says she doesn't care if he does it. She just doesn't want to know.
Because she doesn't want to feel bad about it.
She gets the goat, the chicken, the swirly. She's crazy. I don't hear any more about it.
Oh, no. I have to tell you this one.
What?
I have to. She's, because that's their Christian. She said, we're both Christians, and he is very sensitive, unselfish, considerate, loving, affectionate husband, and a good father.
Who looks at naked ladies?
Not sensitive, he's not unselfish, and he's not considerate or loving. If you have told him that you don't like this, and he keeps doing it and says he doesn't see anything, there's anything wrong with it.
Her problem is her. Sweetheart, your problem is you. Go look in the mirror. The person you see in the mirror, that's your problem. And it's always stunning to me how these women write about the horrible, terrible things their husbands do and then tell us how wonderful people they are. Like the lady, girl, you know, he masturbates, but he's a real man of God.
No, he's not.
You know, he does all these things that really upsets you, looking and ogling other women, but yet he's very sensitive and very spiritual. No, he's not. She's delusional.
It's like
she's just
saying,
delusional.
Mark Unger, he's a really great boss. He's a really great man to work for. He never pays me. He makes me work inordinate hours. He yells at me all of the time and
gives
me all of his business. But he's a really great man to work for.
That's true.
What you should say.
He's a
great
boss.
What you should say. Praise God.
Oh, that's right. He's a great man.
People are crazy. I mean, I don't know. That's just craziness. How
she
do I get it to
her.
Not bother me? It's supposed to bother you, you silly goose. When your husband's looking at other naked women, that is supposed to bother you. Dear pastor, how can I get it so that my husband can look at half-naked women and it not bother me? Are you loco? For heaven's sakes, it's supposed to bother you. Tell him to stop it. Oh, it just irritates me.
I know. But they
hear. How can they be so dumb and still breathe? I don't understand it. But, and I know women just like this.
I know. But they hear there's nothing wrong with it. All men do it. They need to do it. Don't be so insecure. That's what these women hear. I promise you that's what they're
hearing. But then at the same point, they know it really destroys the relationship and it really bothers them. Use your brain. It's supposed to bother you. That's like, a doctor, can you get so I break my arm so it doesn't hurt? Why would you want to do that? Well, I don't care if it breaks. I just don't want it to hurt. Well, what kind of ignorant statement is that? You don't go asking a doctor, how do you break your arm without hurting? Mm-hmm. How about you don't break the arm? The reason this is hurting you is because he's breaking his covenant with you by fantasizing about other women. And you let him do it. You just want it to not bother you. Or please don't tell me you're doing it. For heaven's sakes, have a little sense. You tell him, you do not, I promise you, ma'am, the women who have great marriages right now are just rolling their eyes listening to this. Watching this show, they're all laughing. They are, this is, I can't believe this lady's talking like this. They have great marriages because they don't allow it. You don't have a good marriage because you allow this poison in your home. You're allowing it. He said, well, he's bringing it, but you're allowing it. Someone's got to allow it. Someone acts it and someone's got to allow it. I get a guy acts it, but these women allow the actions and then no wonder why they have terrible marriages. You need to stop allowing it. It's just that simple. And if you can't get that, watch another show because I don't want to explain it for the 18 millionth time. So it's just, that should be so plain. How is that not clear? How is that not clear? You don't allow it. You just don't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, how do we do it so it won't bother me?
Okay, might I digress a little bit back into
digress
my
away.
20-some years ago when I was 20-some something and like this.
Like
I,
75 years ago yes, when you were yes, 20 yes. years old.
I did not like it, but nobody told me that it was okay not to like it and that I could put an end to it. All I heard was, you're just too insecure. What I said to you that they hear, that's what I heard. And I thought, just like her, there was something wrong with me because there was not a soul in my life, any place that said it was okay for me to be upset about it and for him to have to stop it.
Okay, so if you wrote into the show, where's the problem?
What's that?
So if you were there 800 years ago when you
were
20 years old.
I didn't hear it.
I'm just saying, but now you write into the show.
And now you tell me.
And what do you think the answer should be?
Well, no, now that I've heard somebody validate and say, yes, you should feel bad.
Yeah,
you should lay down the law.
Tolerate it.
That would have been a whole nother matter. Nobody told
and
me.
And in all fairness, you were a heathen.
I was.
This lady's in church.
This is true.
And she doesn't have a clue.
And so is he. What do you mean you're a nice Christian church-going man and you're looking
at
that
stuff?
That's
why you wonder, what are these churches teaching today?
Mm-mm.
I don't get it. It's like they refuse to talk about sexual morality. And any kind of norms. They never want to talk about it. See, pastors, for those of you listening, this is what happens when you don't talk about this stuff. The people you think they're getting it under your ministry, they're not getting it. They live like this. They let terrible things happen. They look at porn. They get sex toys. They do all kinds of crazy things because you don't say a word to them. You just assume they understand. They don't understand it. That's why we get so many. We can't even keep up with all these emails. And it's getting worse. We're getting more and more all the time. We can't even begin to keep up with the people around the world, Christian people, who are writing us with these questions. These are good people. These are nice people. But they're a little crazy in their heads because no one has told them the truth about these things.
Well, and if the pastor's not even going to stand up on the pulpit and say, you men should not be looking at porn. It's poison. It's toxic. It's a sin. If they won't even address it and these guys just go around doing it behind everybody's back. And do you think they know when they're doing it? Do they know that they shouldn't be? If not, I mean, I know.
I think their heart and their consciences convict them that it's wrong. But then you got these people who are telling them, no, it's no big deal. And then you got people... You know, the extreme grace thing. Look, I'm all for grace. Thank God for the grace of God. But you got these extreme grace teachers who basically say, it doesn't matter what you do. God's grace just covers it.
Doesn't matter.
So they literally use grace as an excuse to sin, which is what the Bible forbids. But people don't catch it because, well, it's talking about the grace of God. Oh, boy. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com. And Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationship, and giving you our opinions, very opinionated opinions about many issues that you're writing to us about. What do you got?
Okay, my mom married my dad when I was very young. He is not my biological father, but the only dad I've ever known.
Okay.
He has raised me as his daughter and adopted me. My mom does not like to talk about the fact that she was married previously and had me before she met him. No one in her family ever talks about it. None of my children know. My oldest daughter is 10, and with their anniversary coming up, my mom thinks she'll figure out that they were married less than what my age is. She told me, the mother told me, she doesn't want the granddaughter knowing and doesn't like lying to her, but will tell her that they had me and then got married. So she does not want to fess up to this first marriage at all. I said, no, I'm not going to lie to her. Her reason was because when I was 13, I struggled with the dad issue and was distant, and she doesn't want my daughter to do the same. We're very open in our home with things like adoption. But my question is, when is it a good time to tell her, if at all? Or should she do what her mother says?
I don't, you know, no, I'm not expert on this stuff. Although, everybody thinks I'm an expert about everything. My opinion, why would you tell her at all? Wait till she asks. You sound like I can lie to her. Well, then you telling her is not, has nothing to do with lying. Or you not telling her has nothing to do with lying. Right. She's assumed they're going to do the math and figure out and come to you and say, da-da. If they come to you and say, Mom, the math doesn't work, la-di-da-da-da-da-da. Well, what happened was Granny was married or was somebody else before she married Grandpa.
Yeah.
Then you can answer it.
And I have to say, that point, she doesn't want to talk about it. It's
my guess is she'll never bring it up. That's my guess. I don't know very many people sit down and do the math.
Well, especially not at 10 years old.
You know, seriously. So, lady, you're already stressing about stuff you don't need to be stressing out about. Should you lie to her? No. If she asks you, should you tell her the truth? Yes. Should you just go and just stick it in her face and embarrass your mom? You know, she had another man before she got married. Why would you do that? I'm just trying to be honest. That's not being honest. It's just you're being silly. If she asks, answer the question. If she doesn't, zip it. Amen.
There you go.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Okay. This one says, after 20 years of marriage and 3 kids, how do you get the spark back in your physical relationship? He wants me to be more aggressive. She says, I've never been that way, and I'm just not physically attracted to him. I love the man, but I need something to work with. Any ideas? She does go on to say, for years he has been watching porn, but recently he has stopped. He's always wanted her to be the aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
She said, in my head, I think, gosh, I have to have sex with him. She says, don't get me wrong. The sex is fine. He pleases me. But it's the attraction that I want him that isn't there
anymore. That's something you don't
want
to hear from your wife? She looks at you and goes, ugh.
Gotta have sex with that.
That's a drag.
She says, he's looking for me to put on the naughty outfits and come on to him all
okay,
of
tell
the
him
time.
No naughty outfits. You don't play that, okay? Are they Christian people or are they goat slayers at Hollow the Moon? We know it's one or the other, right? Phil knows this.
That's right.
A or B.
Because there's nothing in between.
Are they Satan worshiping goat killers?
Oh, I usually always ask that. I don't know.
So you don't know. Let's pretend they're Christians because most of the people right to the show are Christians. If you're not, that's a little bit different. But as a Christian, you don't put on the naughty thing and act like a whore to spice it up for your husband, okay? So that's out. The fact that you don't feel like, he says, I want you to be more aggressive. Yeah. Every spouse who is more interested in sex than the other one wishes their spouse would be more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just tell him, I'm not. I'm not more aggressive. Yeah. I wish you were. Tell him, I wish you were a millionaire.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Bobby. You go earn a couple of $1 million, and I promise I will be more aggressive in bed. Okay? I mean, we all wish for things. Well, I wish. Well, so what? You married me. I'm not that way. That's all you got to do. Say, you want to make love to me? I'll make love to you. That's all you got to do. And quit worrying about whether or not you feel, you know. I don't think my wife ever looks at me and goes, well, now there's a hunk of a man.
I really want some of that.
I really want that body.
Feels
that bald.
Mortified right
at
now.
At least this is skinny. I'm actually fat. Yeah. I'm sure she doesn't look at me. Here's a chubby, bald, and middle-aged Puerto Rican man. Boy, does that really turn me on? Do you really? In my wildest dreams, I don't think she thinks in those terms.
I'm sure she does not.
You're still trying to live like a teen. A lot of these people just don't grow up.
Yeah. Well, if that's what he wants from her.
No, but hear me out. I think there's a lot of people, they want to lock into whatever they had mm-hmm. as teenagers, and they're 50, and they still want to act like that, and they wonder why they're... Mm-mm. At some point, you move on. You grow up. You be intentional. You have sex on purpose, because that's what you're supposed to do. You connect with each other. You spend time with each other. You're still running through the filter of a teenager. Teenage girls look at boys and go, oh, gee, I don't know if I want to be with him or not.
Mm-hmm.
Married women who've been...
cute enough for me.
Yeah,
20 years, she said.
20 years.
20 years, is that what I said?
Yeah, how about you grow up? How about after 20 years, you realize, gee, yeah. I don't run it through the filter of high school anymore. Where I look at him and, gee, I don't know, I really want some of that, you know? That kind of fades after a while. Look, it's going to fade for him, too. At some point, gravity takes over. and things start to sag, and things just, yo, gray mare, she ain't what she used
it's
to
rather
be.
Depressing.
I mean, it is what it is, and they get all wrinkly and stuff, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't think there's too many people in their 70s that look at each other and just immediately go, you know, but it's not about that anymore. It's much more different, and it's a deeper connection. They'll tell you, it's a much, so grow up. Stop living as a teenage girl. Grow up. Be a mature woman. Stop that. So number one, no dressing up like whores, okay? We're not going to do that. And I'll tell you what, even if you're not a Christian, you can still take that stand. You ought to be a Christian to figure that out. I don't want to dress up like a whore, you Nimrod. All right? No whores, okay? Number two, I am never going to look at you and think, I'm not wired that way. You're the initiator. You initiate. You make love to me. I will be a lover to you. That's all. And quit worrying about all this other nonsense. Good heavens. No wonder so many people are on antidepressants. I want to get on antidepressants. Just listen to these people's lives.
And then you know what happens when you're on antidepressants?
What?
It tanks your sex drive. I'm telling you, that's why so many people have problems in the sex department, because so many of them are on antidepressants.
I guess that's why I have a job. I just, you know, I can't believe people actually pay me for this. You need someone else to think this. Apparently they do.
Apparently.
All right, God bless you, you know. No whores in the bedroom, all right? And I'm never going to go chasing after you, because I'm not wired that way. You chase after me. That's the way we play this game in our marriage. All you got to tell him, and then be a great lover to him. And quit worrying about the fact that you're married to, what, he's got to be pushing at least 40s, huh?
Well, 40s if you got married in your 20s.
Yeah.
At
some point, it just that visual. First of all, most women aren't driven that much visually stimulated in the first place.
At least she enjoys it.
Yeah, yeah. She enjoys sex. What she does, what she's trying to understand, she doesn't feel this just looking at him. Well, who does? Good Lord.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Then I think of you, see the man you want me to become. Hear my heart, answer this my cry. Change me.
We're back.
Change me.
Answering emails about love, marriage, and relationships. What you got?
Ready? Question about ex-sex.
Ex-sex. You know what that is? That's when people get divorced and they keep having sex with each other.
Yeah.
Which I've never understood.
I know.
If you can still have sex with someone, why did you divorce them in the first place?
Well, actually...
But they literally get divorced.
Right.
And they still get together. They get together for booty calls all the time.
Right. Well, this wasn't just a booty call, because they're restoring their marriage. They're getting back together. They went to your event and they're actually looking towards remarrying each other.
All right.
Okay, so they've been apparently having the ex-sex, but now the wife suddenly is saying there will no longer be any intimate contact until they actually remarry, which has upset him quite greatly. He wants to know, do I deserve a swirly? Am I overthinking it, overreacting? Should I just adjust, or does the situation even merit a conversation?
You definitely need a swirly. Gotta go. Good grief. He's writing us because he's upset because she doesn't want to have sex anymore. Why don't you just marry the girl? Why don't you just marry?
I asked him that.
What did he say?
He said they wanted to give it a little time to see if this would stick, and that while they haven't set a date yet, he says, I do guess it's on me to make it official and put a ring on her finger.
Marry
her.
Do you think?
Marry her.
Just marry the girl. And I promise you, he will. See, this is why women are so goofy in their heads. So many women. When you give a man sex for free, and then they wait for him to commit, he's not going to commit. Why?
If you think enough of her to have sex with her, just remarry her.
You have to understand, the number one thing a man wants out of a woman, ladies, is sex. Number one, okay? Out of his wife. Not every woman. I want to clarify that.
Every relationship.
Every woman he meets wants to say, well, some guys are like that. But just in their marriage, what they want more than anything is sexual fulfillment. That's the number one goal. So you give him that. What's his motivation to marry you now? And that's why you girls having sex with these guys. It's absurd.
She drew the line and said no more.
Oh, I know.
Sex,
so she finally got enough sense. Mm-hmm. No more. Now he's upset. Mm-hmm. Wants to know if I'm going to give him a swirly. Of course I'm going to give you a swirly.
Well, why would
goofball?
He bother to hurry and get remarried to her? Why?
Just marry the girl. There's no reason for fornicating. Okay? You know, I have more compassion for people who are in love with someone that they're not married, like they're in an adultery situation. I've said this before. There's no way you can make that right. There's nothing you can do. I even have compassion for people who are gay, who want to be with another man or another woman, whatever the deal is. And biblically, there's no way to make that right. Despite your feelings, from a biblical sense, adultery, you can't make it right.
Nope.
Gay sex, you can't make it right. There's all kinds of stuff, you can't make it right. But there's no excuse for fornicating. Two single people who want to get together and do a life together, there's no reason to have sex. Just marry the girl. I mean, it's not like there's anything holding him back from having all the sex he wants with her. Just marry her. But he wants to have sex without the marriage. That's why he got to swirly. Dude, just marry the lady. Want to know if it'll stick? You know how you know it'll stick? When you determine in your mind it's going to stick. I promise. That's what determines it sticks. I promise. Not waiting for some magic to happen. Goodness gracious. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, watching. See you next time.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.